Welcome to Gemara Markings Daf Yomi Tosfos Shiur Brachos Daf Yud Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf to view today's marked Tosfos using the popular Gemara Markings system, similar to that used for the Daf Gemara. If you are not already familiar with our system, a thorough explanation is available by clicking on the Learn the System option. We turn to the first Tosfos on Daf Yud Tes in Brochus. Afilu b'shal sheshalom Yisrael. This is a quote from the Gemara that featured Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's halacha that one who speaks ill of Talmidei Chachamim is destined to find himself in Gehenna. A pasuk was quoted at the end of which it said Shalom Israel, and the Gemara said Afilu b'sha'a sheshalom Israel yolichem Hashem es po'alei oven. Tosfos says Afilu b'sha'a sheshalom Israel v'hainu la'achar misoso. The point being, this pasuk was brought to show that even after the death of a Talmud Chacham, ill speech will result in the speaker's residing or finding himself in Gehenna. And how do I know that this pasuk is talking about that case after the death of the Talmud Chacham? Deloy osu linsui b'harei mesaper b'gnusam. Because the pasuk made a reference to the time of peace, meaning that the one about whom or concerning whom the ill speech was made isn't going to challenge, isn't going to fight with him because he's dead. From here we see that the pasuk is speaking about speech after the subject of the speech is already dead. In our Gemara, we saw Tanaic sources brought to show that there is nidui for different things, and one of them was this point of Mesaper Achar Mitosan Shel Talmidei Chachamim. The Gemara had mentioned the case of Akavya ben Mahalalel speaking ill of Shmaya ve'Avtalion, and he had said that you can't bring a proof from the practice of Shmaya ve'Avtalion to give a Gioris or Meshuchreris to drink of the Mei Sota because they themselves were Gerim. And the expression found in the source was where Akavya ben Hamalel said, well, Dugma Hishkua. The Tosfos quotes Rashi, Pirush Rashi, Lefi Shehoisa Gioris Kemoisam, since the story involving Karkimus involved a Gioris like they were, Shohoyu Gerim, namely Shmai Vatayim themselves were Gerim, V'chein Mashma B'Yushalmi D'Moid Kotten, and likewise in the Yushalmi of Maseches Moid Kotten, where the term Dugma appears, it is like Rashi explains, where it's meant something like them. And the Yushalmi there says, Mahu Dugma De Kavosa, something like it. Be'oruch Pirush, in the Oruch there is another explanation. Dugma Hishkua is a reference to the water that she was given, that Karkimis, this Shifcha Mishukhreris, was given to drink, Mei Tseva. In other words, pseudo Sota water, the Sota water coming from the Kior of the Azor of the Beis HaMikdash. Rather, they, Shmai Vavtan, gave her this Karkimis Shifcha HaMishukhreres, they gave her Mei Tseva, colored water, Avalo Hoyu Morim Mamish. They weren't the real bitter waters that are suitable or official waters of the Sota procedure. Velo Mochaku HaTura Leha, Ela Liura Oisa. Also, what one of the expected Sota procedures is the erasing of the Parsha of Sota that's written on Klaf, and then the ink is scraped off and what we call erased over the Sota water in a real Sota ceremony. But since she was, as far as the opinion of Akavi Malal, someone not fit to have the official procedure done. So his opinion was that she was given pseudo water, in other words, this Mei Tseva, the dyed water, and they weren't treated the way Sota water in the Beis HaMikdash is treated, nor was the Parsha erased over it as would have been done in the case of a real Sota. We now continue to Amid Beis. The Tosfos Medalgin Hayinu Al Gabi Aronos. This was featured in one of the sources showing that, attempting to show that we place greater emphasis on Kovod Habrios, than we would on a particular mitzvah or avera in the Torah. And one of the examples was the story that Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddok reported, that they used to jump from coffin to coffin in order to greet a king, even though he was a kohen, thereby in effect violating his kahuna by being metame tamesim, which a kohen is forbidden for doing. And why was he doing that? In order to express kovod to a king. So kovod habrios overruled the mitzvah in the Torah of a kohen maintaining his purity. So now the Tosfos says, Medalgin hoyinu agavi aronos, tema. In this Tosfos we're going to use a triangle inversion system, where we call this a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the back and forth nature, the give and take nature of the questions. So another marking that we want to emphasize here is a crown shape, which you see around Lepirusha Kuntris, and later you'll see a similar shape around Pirush Rabbeinu Tam toward the end of the Tosfos. These are two major opinions regarding the definition of a golel. So now our Tosfos says, Temo Lepirusha Kuntris, the Pirush Golel, Kisui Shoron. The term golel is found in the context of graves, we'll say, just to be general in our approach. Rashi explains that the word golel that appears from time to time in different gemaras, different mishnayos and gemaras, Rashi explains that that word golel equals kisui shel oroin. It is the covering of an oron. Desanyo kol asher yigal pnei soda. This is a posuk that deals with Tumas Meis, and it says, and the drosha on this, the rabbis goylo v'doifek, to include not only the body itself as being a source of Tumas Meis, but these two other additional elements, the golel and dofek. V'im kain gam hagolel mitame b'oil, so too, just like a body is mitame through Tumas oil, through overshadowing, so too the golel would be. And now Rashi says the golel is the covering of the coffin. So now the question is, assuming Rashi's pshat in golel, v'heich hoyu medalgin olav, how could they expose themselves to Tumah that would be cast by the golel? After all, if you're jumping from coffin to coffin, you're coming into contact with the golel. V'yesh loimar, and here we have an inverted triangle indicating a response. V'yesh loimar dolo koshe, there is no problem. Doho tanya b'smoches kol tumo shein hanozir megaleach oleo ein koyein muzer oleo. We mentioned earlier that a kohen is prohibited from the Torah from exposing himself to Tumas Meis. However, the source in Maseches Smochus tells us that sets a rule down that any Tumah that would not cause a Nozir, who by the way is also prohibited from exposure to Tumas Meis, but any type of Tumah that a Nozir would not be considered in violation of his Nazirus, which would thereby force him to take a haircut, which would stop his counting, his 30-day Nazirus counting, and then he would take a haircut and then wait 7 days and then restart his Nazirus counting. So any type of Tumah, and in this case you'll see we're going to be talking about Tumas Meis, that a Nazir is not considered in violation of, as is illustrated here, that he does not have to take a haircut. Ein kohen muzer oleha. A kohen is also not bound or not prohibited from. The goyel v'dofek ein nozir megalech alehen. A nozir, let us say, who became exposed or came into contact with a goyel or dofek, different parts of the coffin. Ein nozir megalech alehen. Kidisnan, the maseches nozir, perek kohen godol. as is taught over there. So, being that that's the case, so Rebbe Elazar Reb Tzadok, as a Kohen, was not proscribed from having contact with the Golel. V'hoya oimer Rabbeinu Tam, delesei lahani kloli. Rabbeinu Tam, though, doesn't, he disregards or rejects the rule that was stated just now in Maseches Smochus. Deho Omar Hosam, it says there, the Revius Dam Ein Anozir Megalei Cholov, Ache Chatzi Lug, a quarter of a lug, a Revius is a liquid quantity of blood that came from a corpse. A Nozir does not take a haircut over that. He doesn't, it's not considered a fundamental violation of his Nazirus, and that happens only if you have a half a lug as opposed to a quarter of a lug. Even so, a Kohen is proscribed, is warned against exposure to a revius of dam. Kiramrina beperek behema makashe, the revius dam haba mishnei meisim tomei. Umafkinon law, and that is learned from me'al kol nafshus meis lo yavo. So we see that a Kohen is warned against something that a Nozir would not have to be Megaleach of. Now, if that's the case, so by a Kolel, a Golel also, a Kohen would become, would be Musar on that, would be warned against it. V'yesh lomar, to answer Rabbeinu Tam's problem, v'yesh lomar, the hosam, in the case of the revius dam, mikol mokom havi shem tumo shanozim galecholeo. The Rabbeinu Tam had raised a question on the klal from Maseches Mochus based on the case of the revius dam. So Tosfos is answering that the truth is that it may be true that the revius dam itself, the nozir, doesn't have to megaleach, but the idea of dam, of blood from a corpse, is something that a nozir has to megaleach, has to, it would be considered a fundamental violation. So that to bring a challenge to the case of Golel from the case of revius dam, that is not a challenge, and the klal remains. Avo Golel v'doifek, eno klal b'nozir. It doesn't appear as a problem for nozir to begin with. V'lokach ein kohen muzer olav, and therefore the kohen is not muzer on it, and that explains once again why Rabbi Elazar Reb Tzadok was able to jump from coffin to coffin, even though he was coming into contact with the Golel. E Nami, another resolution. Ha Braisa, the Braisa from Maseches Smochus, Savra ki Zekenim Rishonim, takes adopts the opinion of the Zekenim Rishonim, Shoimim Revius Dam Gam Petiglachas Nozir, and therefore, what Rabbeinu Tam was raising as a problem for or against Maseches Mochus is not a problem, because Maseches Mochus doesn't hold like Rabbeinu Tam regarding the revius dam. Rabbeinu Tam posed the revius dam as something that a nozir is not megaleach olav, where the Maseches Mochus is of the opinion that a revius dam is something that the nozir is megaleach olav, and hence the rule would apply. That what else do we know about a revius dam? We mentioned before the revius dam is something that a kohen is muzer olav. So if you hold like the Maseches Mochus is like it's proposed over here that it would hold a nozir is megaleach, the rule still holds. The kohen is warned against it. Umiyu tema. Another question. As you can see, the triangle repositions itself, point facing upwards. Umiyu tema. Amai ein hames mitame b'oyel. Kevon shakisui atzmoi mekabel tuma. the Gemara had portrayed the coffins as something that had a halal tefach in them, and therefore the tumah was restrained to the inside of the coffin, and they, by jumping over them, did not encounter tumah on a Torah level, because roiv of the aronos had this halal tefach. But Tosfos is raising a question that there's another problem, and that since the covering itself is mekabel tumah, it cannot stop the tumah from rising and penetrating it. And what, then we would be back to square one. How could Reb Elazar ben Tzadok, was a claim, be jumping from coffin to coffin? So once again, Amai ein hames mitame boil. Why is there no tumas oil over here? Kevon shakisu asmo mekabel tuma, the chol dover hamekabel tuma eino chotzeitz bifnei hatuma. Im kein mitame boil. This is a rule that anything that itself absorbs tuma cannot be a block against tuma from penetrating it. V'yesh loimar. An answer to that is the ein mitame elotzad. Chitzoin Sheboi. The covering of the Oroin, we say, is Tomei, but it's a reference to the outside of it, the external side of the cover. Avotzad Pnimi Tohor. The inside of the covering of the Oroin is Tohor. Kedisnam Sefas Oilis Perek Tezvov. Chovis Shehi Maleo Mashkin Tohorim Umukefis Tzomit Posil. Imagine a jug that is filled with liquid that is tohor, and the jug is sealed with a clay seal. That's called mukefes tzomet posil. It's surrounded by a clay seal. It's sealed shut. The asah o goylel lekever, and then you took this jug with its liquid contents and used it as a covering for a grave, a goylel. One who touches this jug, he's touching obviously the outside of the jug. After all, it's a sealed jug, so he's touching the outside of the jug, which is now functioning as a golel, as a covering of a grave. And it says in Maseches Oilos that one who touches the jug becomes tomei for 7 days, which is characteristic of tumas meis. V'ha'chovis v'ha'mashkin tahurin. However, the chovis, this jug, probably a reference to the inside of the jug, and the mashkim and the liquid that is inside, remains tohor. The fi shetzad pnimi kulo tohor, because the inside is completely tohor. And therefore, we can say this is not something, we can therefore categorize this as something other than a dovar mekabel tumah. And therefore, we won't say that the tumah penetrates this thing. Umihu tema lepirusha kuntris. There is a question, though. According to Rashi's explanation, the pirush perikamad erevin, Rashi explains in the first perik of erevin the following: Ein oisin mibale chayim goylo v'doifek. The kever. In other words, that's not what Rashi says, but that's what the Gemara points out in Erevin, that you don't use animals as a goylel nor doifek for a kever. The term doifek we didn't explain here, but you can find it to be explained as the sides of a coffin or of a grave. But the Gemara there says that you don't use animals as a goylel doifek for a kever, for a grave. Now, the goylel hainu kisui ha'oroin, if you're going to use Rashi's pshat, that goylel is the covering of a coffin, v'chi oisin mibale chayim kisui la'oroin, would you even think to use an animal? We're talking about live animals, about using animals as a covering of a grave, of a covering of a coffin. So this is a strong question on Rashi's pshat, of Golel being Kisui Shel Oron. Al Kain, Pirush Rabbeinu Tam, the Golel, Hainu Matseva, a grave marker. Notice with our markings, we've dashed underlined Hainu Matseva in contrast with the dashed underlining at the beginning of the Tosfos, where we dashed on Kisui Shel Oron. This is now Rabbeinu Tam's pshat of golel, a grave marker. And now, what about the animals? V'chein derech b'nei odom liten behemo al hakever. It is customary of people to use an animal as a temporary grave marker, ad shi'itnu alav matzev, until they finally put a stone marking in place. So what we've seen in this Tosfos is, in effect, a machlukis, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, as to what is pshat in golel. As far as the questions concerning the golel as being something that's mekabel tumo, and that presenting a problem for Reb Elozer Reb Tzadok, so that Tosfos answered how things work as far as the Kohen is concerned. But as far as the technical definition of golel, the Rashi Pshat finally ran into a challenge from the Gemara in Erevin, and hence Tosfos opts for Rabbeinu Tam's approach. Continuing in the Tosfos, you have Roiv Aroinus Yesh Bohem Chalal Tefach. This was presented by the Gemara as a justification for Elozer B'Tzadok jumping from coffin to coffin and not encountering Tumas Mace. And that was based on the idea that there's an airspace within the coffin above the body, a Chalal Tefach, which prevents the Tuma from going beyond the top of the coffin. V'tzorech Lomar, this Tosis is going to be dealing, it's not a long Tosis, but it's going to be dealing with some nitty-gritty details of Tumas Oihel, particularly in the context of units that contain bodies. So Tosis says, V'tzorech Lomar she'roish ha'aron posuach. You'll have to say that there is an opening in the head of the oron, the head of the coffin. Sheim hoyososum, if the coffin was sealed, so you have a body inside a sealed oron, and there was a poseach tefach. Adarabo ki yesh bo poseach tefach. If you have a sealed oron with a space above the body of a tefach, an airspace of a tefach, then you know what happens? Metame v'afilu b'tzad horekon shaboy, assuming that the oron is longer than the body. So then, if it's a totally sealed oron, then there will be tuma even opposite the part of the oron that is empty, that the body itself is not there. Kin amrin maseches oyolis perek zayin says there, Mishnah there says, nefesh atuma, a grave that is totally, or a coffin that is totally sealed, hanogea bo min hatzdodim, one who touches it from the sides, tohor. Now what does that mean, from the sides? Pirush b'tzad horekon, from the sides that there is no body. The extremes of the coffin or of the grave, that there is no body, mitnei shetuma boikas v'oila boikas v'yoredes, because the nature of tuma is that it rises and penetrates, or it can descend and penetrate. If you have, let us say, a corpse on a shelf above, so it will penetrate downwards. V'im hoya mokoim hatuma tefach, al rum tefach. If the place where there is tuma, let's say you have a kezias of mace, an olive quantity of mace that's inside some type of container that measures a cubic tefach, hanogea bo mikol mokoim tomei, whatever part of this container that you touch, you will become tomei, mipnei shehu kekever sosum, it is like a sealed grave. Almo bekever sosum eino mitame kol svivov elo kishyeshalov tefach. A sealed grave will not result in tuma from all of its extremities unless there is this airspace of a tefach in it. Avol betuma ritzutza eino mitame elo keneged atuma. Let us say you have a grave with a body in it and it's covered, and you don't have an additional airspace of a tefach. then the tumah does not spread throughout the entire grave, but rather vertically. The tumah movement is vertical. That's what it means. That tumah ritzutza, this continuous tumah, is only keneged hatumah, opposite the tumah. Lo mitzad harekon. Meperek mocher peros yesh laharich. There in Maseches Bava Basra, there is more on this topic. Namely, Tosfos in Bava Basra deals with this at a greater extent. So, what we see in this Tosfos is the called the saving feature of Halal Tefach is only if there is an opening at the head of the Oron, of the casket, or the grave in which the mace is contained, so that we can say that the tumah does not spread throughout the entire oron. However, if it were sealed, completely sealed, then the tumah would spread throughout the entire oron, and dafka, because there is a poseach tefach, there would be this spreading problem. So that in order to alleviate the spreading problem and take full advantage of the poseach tefach element, we have to say that the grave had an opening, or the casket had an opening at its head. The next Tosfos is in a sense paraphrases what Rashi has, and in effect it's a Tosfos that contains the complete drosha on the pasuk concerning the nozir and the forbidden, the relatives forbidden to be metametu. So we should mention what we mentioned in our Gemara shiur, that we have a pasuk quoted on the side of our marked daf, Bamidbar Vav, pasuk Vav, and Pasuk Zayin, where it says, Kol Yemei Haziro Lashem, regarding the Nazir, all the days of his Nazirus, Al Nefesh Meis Lo Yavo, he shall not contaminate himself or defile himself to the dead. And then after this general statement of not defiling himself to any dead, the next Pasuk Zayin, it enumerates, Lo Aviv, Uli Imoi, Lo Achiv, Ula Choysoi, Lo Yitamo, Lo Hembe Moisom, Ki Nezer Lekov, Al Roshoi. And the drosha deals with why the necessity of enumerating each one of the relatives at warning the nazir against defilement, when it was already included in the first pasuk vav, al nefesh meis lo yavo. The Tosfos, al ulachosim atam loma, gabi nazir ksiv, by the nazir it says, al nefesh meis lo yavo. That was pasuk vav. Uksiv Basrei, and in Pasuk Zayin it says, La'aviv ulimoy, li'ochiv la'chosu lo yitamo. V'kulu yiserininu. These were all extra expressions. Timi nefesh meis nafka. That they could have been derived from nefesh meis, any deceased one, a nozir is forbidden to defile. V'darshinon, and the drosha is as follows. Now in our markings, you can see diamonds appear around the respective relatives mentioned in the pasuk. So you have La'aviv here, the second line of the Tosfos under the Gemara Li'imoy, directly under that La'achiv, and a few lines later La'achosoy. Those who heard our Daf Yomi Gemara Shir remember our saying, as far as the quote in the Gemara itself, it was a concise quote from the longer drosha that we'll see now in the Tosfos. So, v'darshinon le'aviv ma tamad lomar. Why does the Torah specify the father of the nozir, that he, in the event the father dies, the nozir shall not defile himself to him? L'gufe lo itzrich, for the purpose of father himself, I don't need that to be stated. Toha mi nefesh meis nafka kulhu. From Pasuk Vav, where it said nefesh meis, corpse, any deceased, the nazir is not allowed to become tomei. V'lo bo ela lahotzi meitz mitzvah de mutter l'tamebo. Oviv was stated by the Torah to say as follows: thou shalt not mitame yourself to your father, but to a meis mitzvah you are allowed. A meis mitzvah being an a an uncared for found corpse, that you, even if it's a nazir, even if you happen to be a nazir, have to tend to his burial. Thereby, of course, being metame, violating the naziris, but that's what the Torah wants. L'imo ima talmud lomar. Why does the Torah mention imo by the nazir? L'gufei lo itzrich, to tell us that he shall not metame himself to his dead mother. That I don't need to be told. That was included in pasuk vav b'nefesh meis. U'lahatir meis mitzvah. That as well, to tell me that a nazir can be metame himself to meis mitzvah me le'aviv. Nafka, that's learned from there, from aviv. Ela lahavi. Rather, what the role of imo in the nazir pasuk is to tell me shim hoya. Nazir v'koyin she'ishal of shtei kedushas, a person who is a nazir and also a kohen, and he has these two aspects of sanctity. Ein hakosuv masiro milatame elo li'imo. The Torah is saying you cannot be matame to mother. Avol matame hu lemeis mitzvah. Once again, using mother as a jumping off point for the inference that mother no, but meis mitzvah yes. He is able to metame. L'ochiv ma talmud lomar. What does ochiv in the nazir pasuk tell me? Answer: Shimhoya kohen gadol v'nazir dekedushas soi chamur. If a person is a kohen gadol and also happens to be observing nazirus, he has a high level of kedusha. The gam below nazirus osir letame lekrovov. The nature of a kohen gadol is different than a kohen hedyot, and that a kohen gadol is restricted from defiling himself to any of his close relatives. Afal pikein. Nevertheless, what the Torah is telling me here is la'ochiv hu deino metame. He, the kohen gadol nazir, cannot metame himself to brother. To brother being an example of a close relative. Avol metame hu lemeis mitzvah. Once again, the inference to lead me to tell me not brother, but yes, meis mitzvah. V'im eino inyan l'nozir greda v'lo l'koyin hedyot nozir. And if ochiv is not necessary for a simple nozir, that was learned already from aviv. And if it's not necessary for the case of a regular kohen who happens to also be a nozir, that was learned from imoi. Teneo inyan l'koyin godol nozir. The chiddush here would be that even if he's a kohen gadol and a nazir, he is able to be metame to a meis mitzvah. We should mention, just to correct the mistake, when mentioned to nazir greda, to tell me that he is not allowed, that a simple nazir is not allowed to be metame. So, let's say again that a nazir greda is allowed to be metame to a meis mitzvah. So I, in fact, like we said before, that I learned from aviv. So we were correct in our explanation. But we continue in the Tosfos now. Ula achosoy ma talmud lomar. What does achoso teach me? Shim hoya kohen gadol v'nazir v'holach lishchoy pischoy v'lomolas benoi deika mitzvah tuva. If a person happened to be a nazir and a kohen gadol, and he was on his way to Shech the Pesach, he has a lot of mitzvahs on him, a lot of requirements, and a person that is going to do a korban Pesach must, of course, be tohor to process a korban. Afilu hachi la'achosu de eno metame, afo metame le'meis mitzvah. Nevertheless, he is not allowed to metame to a relative, like achoso to a sister, but he is allowed to metame the meis mitzvah. We should point out in this Tosfos, and it'll be necessary for appreciating the next Tosfos, that Tosfos here, interestingly enough, takes achoso to teach me about a person who has these multiple kedushas on him. He's a kohen gadol and a nazir on his way to Shech the Pesach. That happens to be the same pshat that Rashi in Maseches Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Hei, explains this drasha. This is a point that the Tosfos HaRosh makes in his commentary on the next Tosfos. So, without any further ado, Amris Lo Yatama. This is going on the drasha in the Brisa that we had, in the section that we had in our Gemara, where the drasha read, Ula choso matam lomar, looking back in the Gemara, it said, about five lines from the bottom, Hare shoy hoylich lishchot es pisav lomas beno. Someone who was on their way to Shech the Pesach, or circumcise their son, and he heard about the passing of a relative, no, you cannot. That's what Choso in the Pasuk is telling me. Those are the words in Pasuk Zion. It says, Ula Choso lo yitamo. Mipnei, now Tosfos goes on here to say, Mipnei shikoi al odam shihu nazir v'kohen gadol v'yosef pesach. Why is he not allowed to matama to a relative? Because he has all of these things upon him. Three things. He's a nazir, he's a kohen gadol, and he's on his way to do a korban pesach. Now, if you want, you can infer from this, mashma, the oisa pesach greido, rashoi, letama lekroivim. When can you not matama to krovim according to the drosha of Achoso? Well, you can't be matama if you are all of these things. Let us say, forgetting about the nozir and kohen gadol aspect, let's say you were just on your way to do a korban pesach, and then you heard that a relative died. We could infer that you would be allowed to matama to. Now, v'tema, de bezvachim gabi maisa de yosef hakohen shemesa ishto be'erev pesach. An incident is reported in Masechus Vochim, where Yosef, who was a Kohen, his wife died on Erev Pesach, v'timuhu echov baal korcho, and his brothers forcibly were metame Yosef HaKohen. Showing, their attempt was to show that a Kohen is allowed to be metame to his relatives, even at the expense of the Korban Pesach. Uporich meha braisa dehacha. And in Zvachim, their decision was challenged from this braisa to komar lo yitamo. That it's forbidden. That if you're an oisa Pesach, it's forbidden. Well, umai kusha. Why is there any challenge to what they did to Yosef HaKohen? Dilmo shayni hocha, demari the whole kedushas ho'elu bo, kedeprishis. The only reason that it's lo yitamo here is because it's not just an oisa pesach. He's got other kedushas on him as well. He's a kohen gadol, he's a nozir. Avol oisa pischo gredo, emo rashoi letame. But if he was a simple Oisa Pesach, without the other Kedushos, he could be Matamet to his relatives. So what the brothers of Yosef HaKohen did was fine. So and yet we know that in Zvachim, their practice was challenged. Al-Kenir Lefaresh, therefore, Tosfos here, and this, by the way, is in contrast with the end of the previous Tosfos, Tosfos, therefore, and by the way, we ascribed that explanation of the Achoso telling me about someone who has multiple kedushos as Rashi's pshat in Maseches Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Hey. It's worth noting that Rashi over here doesn't say that pshat, and it could very well be, like is suggested in the Meforshim, that Rashi was Hodarbe Chozerbo. He once said that pshat, and over here he says something else. But to go back to our Tosfos, Al-Kein Nira Lefarish, therefore, it's more likely to say, Amris Lo Yitamo. Here we're continuing on Daf Chof Amud Aleph at the top, that when the Drosha of Achlachoso says, Amris, in our Gemara text, three lines from the bottom of Amud Beis, Amris Lo Yitamo, what that is referring to is afilu oisa pischoi greda. Even if a person is not a kohen gadol nor a nazir, he is a simple person on his way to do a korban pesach, and he hears of his sister dying or a relative dying. Even to that, we say lo yitamo. And if that's the case, therefore, the Braisa really does pose a challenge to the those who were Metama, Yosef HaKohen, as was reported in Maseches Zvachim. V'im Toimar, you might want to ask, Mehecha Pshitole Amris Lo Yitamo. How is it, from where does the Braisa know, how is it so poshut to the Baal HaBraisa that one who is Heilich Lishchoi Pischo cannot mitamet to relatives? The Braisa simply blurted out, if you will, you know, if one's, it's the Drasha said, and it, could it be that if one's close relative is died and he was on his way to Korban Pesach that he could be mitama? No, he cannot. Well, how does the Braisa know that? V'yesh lomar kidepirush Rashi, delo osi ase she'ein boi koreis ketumas kroivim, v'yidche ase she'yesh bo koreis kegoi noise Pesach. I'll tell you how we know, how the Braisa knows to say you cannot be metamet to the relative, because it wouldn't make sense that an ase that has no koreis in it, for example, the idea of having to be metamet to a relative, that is an ase that has, there's no koreis associated with it. How in the world could that possibly overpower the need to do a Korban Pesach, where we know that if one doesn't do a Korban Pesach when he could, he is in violation of a koreis penalty. V'gam milo shayach bo koreis. Milo also is koreis related. Hence, if someone's on his way to do milo, he should continue to do the milo and not stop for the tuma of the to be metam himself to the close relative. V'im toimar hosam. You might ask that there in Zvachim, hosam de poruch al maise de Yosef HaKohen. There, as we mentioned in Zvachim, this Braisa was used as a kasha on what they did. They were metamim, and he was on his way to do a Korban Pesach. Minole le Talmuda dehocha mayri ba'oise pischoi lechud. From where does the Gemara in Zvachim know that Yosef HaKohen was on his way? Was that was all that was a matter of concern? We should just mention parenthetically that a Kohen Hedyot is not proscribed, is not restricted from being metamet to relatives, to the seven close relatives that are enumerated in the Torah. So the only problem for Yosef HaKohen would have been preventing him from doing the Korban Pesach. The question here is how does the Gemara in Zvachim know that Yosef HaKohen was, that was all that was, let us say, his issue, his problem, that he was on his way to do a Korban Pesach. V'yesh loimar. So the answer to that, how the Gemara in Zvachim knew that that's what the Braisa is talking about, midalo kayo gabi oisa pischo kemo gabi achirim, because the presentation of the drosha from Achoso didn't include, Kyle means to include along with it the other factors, the Nozir, the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Hedyot, these other factors in this particular section. What did it do by the Achirim, by the other cases, the other drushes we had from Ovivimo and Ochiv? This is a quote. Mi shoya Nozir, the Kohen Hedyot, the Meikora Nokat Nozir, Luchud. The first drusha was referring to a Nozir, a simple nazir, and we had mentioned that the Oviv came to tell me that if someone was a nazir, a simple nazir, and his father died or a close relative died, he cannot metam himself to them, but yes to a meis mitzvah. So we saw that the first stage of the drushes featured nazir. There was a structure to those drushes from Oviv, Imo, and Ochiv. There was a build up that at first it featured nazir by itself. Yachakach nazir v'koyin. The Kohen Hedyot. Then when it brought in Imo, it said, what about someone who's got the two Kedushas on him? V'chule. And then it built up to Nozir and Kohen Gadol. But when it came to Achoisoi, it doesn't continue that build up. It just features someone on his way to do a Korban Pesach. V'im toimar mino le dahai kro be'oise pischoi velomu es benoi. You might ask, well, in looking at this pasuk, how do you know it's at all talking about someone who's about to do a Korban Pesach or circumcise his son? Ha kro ksiv benozir. The pasuk is in the parsha of Nozir. It's talking about a Nozir, not about these other things. V'yesh lomar. Answer to that is im eino inyan benozir, the hok sivi psukim achirim, the metame b'meis mitzvah. If this section, certainly achoso, is not dealing with a nozir, because nozir was already dealt with in other psukim, that a, and I believe this is a reference to the drushes of aviv, imo, and achiv. Those dealt with the nozir and his various additional levels of kedusha, each one telling me that he can be metame b'meis mitzvah. So I don't need to talk about nozir anymore. Therefore, teneo inyan l'hoylich lishchot pischo. This is a type of it's a default situation where I don't have any other use for achoso other than to tell me about hoylich lishchot es pischo, because to tell me about what the context of the pasuk is nozir, that's already been covered. This, of course, is a Torah Shebaal Peh aspect, which Tosfos is simply assuming that that's what motivated the Tana of this particular drasha. So up till this point, Tosfos, in arguing with what we discovered, thanks to the Tosfos HaRosh, was Rashi's approach in Maseches Sanhedrin. So the Rashi approach was that the drosh of Achosu is dealing with multiple kedushos, someone who is a nozir, a kohen gadol, who happens to be on his way to shech the Pesach. Tosfos, interestingly, in the previous Tosfos adopted that pshat, but in this Tosfos he disagrees. He disagrees with that pshat, which we can call Rashi's pshat. Up till now, though, we didn't see Tosfos cite Rashi explicitly, but here we'll now see that. Vasar Mikutzi, and we should note that from this point till basically the end of the Tosfos is one long point, and we've marked it off with a little nun to the immediate left hand side of the Tosfos text and descending vertical dash line to show the extent of this point. Vasar Mikutzi Miyashev Pirush Rashi Demairi Hocha Diyesh Boko Adrishus Alolo. Once again, when we quote Rashi, we're really referring to Rashi from Sanhedrin Lamed Hey Omed Aleph, which I was able to get to through the Tosfos HaRosh. And the reason I'm emphasizing that is because Rashi over here doesn't seem to mention this in the context of Achoso, of the multiple Kedushos, but rather, like Tosfos himself here is suggesting. Nevertheless, the Sar Mikutzi wants to defend the Rashi Pshat from Sanhedrin, the multiple Kedushos Pshat, the Mairi, as we said, the Mairi Hocha Diyesh Bokosh Zalalu. And he's also an Oysa Pesach. He's a Kohen Gadol and a Nozir, and he's an Oysa Pesach. Umi kol mokoim porich hosom gabi Yosef HaKohen. And nevertheless, this moker of Alachosu can be used against the Yosef HaKohen perpetrators, or the people that were metamehim. The Al Korch af Yosef Pesach Greda. We're saying here, Sarmi Kuzi is saying, even if he were only an Oysa Pesach, Eino Rashoi Letame, he cannot be Metame to Krovim. And hence, this is asked as a question against those who were Metame him. Di'i Saka Daitach Oysa Pesach Metame Le Krovim. If you were to think that a simple Oysa Pesach could be Metame to relatives, Ula Achoisoi Lomeli lemeimar demetame lemeis mitzvah, kevon demetame lekroivim. The word achoso, why would I need it to tell me that he could be metame to meis mitzvah? Here we're going with a havamin. If it were so that an oisa pesach could be metame to kroivim, so why would I need lachoso to tell me that he could be metame to meis mitzvah? Kevon demetame lekroivim. Since he could be metame to krovim, alma, and yet what? And yet the Torah does go out of its way to tell me that through achoso that he can be metame to a meis mitzvah. Alma oisa pischo eino male olav shum chumrut vei. Therefore, the fact that he is an oisa pischa doesn't increase, doesn't add to his kedusha or to his significance whatsoever. Im kain pshita de metama lemeis mitzvah. And therefore, it would be obvious. In other words, if he could be metama to relatives, he could certainly be metama to a meis mitzvah. And therefore, I wouldn't have any need for achoso. And yet, the Torah says achoso, so we have to work backwards. The Torah says achoso, therefore it must be that he cannot be metama the oisa pischo cannot be metama to relatives. V'chi teima mikomokom tzorach kro de metama lemeis mitzvah. You might say that the oisa pesach could in fact be metama to relatives. And then they'll ask, well, then what do I need achoso for regarding meis mitzvah? Yeah, I need it for this. This is what you might think. Because he's got three kedushas on him, he's nazir, v'koyin, v'oisa pesach. Being that he has so many kedushas, I wouldn't have known that he could be metamet l'meis mitzvah. Ule oilum emaloch, the oisa pesach greater metamet l'kroivim, and a simple oisa pesach could be metama to relatives. Lohi, that is not so. The hokvar shaminon mila oviv uli imoy uli ochiv. We have already learned that from these drushes concerning oviv imo and ochiv, the nazir v'koyin gadol lo mahani midi l'meis mitzvah. They do not have any counter effect preventing him from metama to meis mitzvah. Im kein al kochuch kroy lo itzrichu ela lamala de pesach. Therefore, if we already learned from the other relatives Oviv, Imo, and Ochiv that the multiple kedushas did not stop him from tuma to meis mitzvah, therefore the role of achoso must be because of the additional the heightened kedusha resulting from his being an oisa pesach. The lomali pshita di metame lekroivim kol shekein lemeis mitzvah. Well, what would I need to be told about an oisa pesach that he could be metame to a meis mitzvah if it were so that he could be metame to relatives? The afagav the itzdurich kro the leimoi, even though we found use for the leimo pasuk for lekain hedyot v'nazir, an example of multiple kedushas, the metame lemeis mitzvah afagav the kosav kro the metame lekroivim, the itzdurich kro shehein shnei kedushos, even though we have the pasuk of leimo regarding a kain hedyot and a nazir that he could be mitame to a meis mitzvah. Even though the pasuk told us about tuma lekroivim, the itzrich cross shehein shnei kedushos, afagav de shaminon kvar demala de nozir lo mahane midi lemeis mitzvah mila aviv. So that we saw that we were using psukim to tell me about multiple kedushas, even though we had already learned that the nazir level of kedusha does not prevent him from meis mitzvah. We learned that from Aviv. Hani mili koyein the kedushas of kedushas oilam. That is true only with regard to a koyein that has a permanent kedusha. And therefore, in his case, when he's got an additional kedusha, the tofi kedusha, where there's added kedusha, therefore I need the pasuk to tell me that he can be metama nevertheless to meis mitzvah. Aval oisa pesach shekedushasoy lefi shah, but someone who's on his way to do a pesach, which is a matter of preserving his kedusha only till that time. It's not a permanent thing, it's just till he does the korban. Im ato matir loy lekroivim, if you were to allow him to be metame to relatives, hu adin lemeis mitzvah mikol shekein, then certainly he would be able to be metame himself to a meis mitzvah. The may choses litein loy kedusha tvei gabi meis mitzvah yosem min akrovim. What would the havam imina be to say that he has a higher level of kedusha regarding a meis mitzvah to prevent him from dealing with the meis mitzvah more than relatives? So all told, by virtue of the fact that the Torah does go out of its way to tell me through Achoso that he is allowed to be metama himself to a meis mitzvah, it must be, it follows from that, that he is not allowed to metama himself to relatives. Inami yesh lefarish bekotzer habraisa. You can another approach to explain that an oisa pesach greda is not allowed to be metama to relatives. Midesanyo greda al Yisrael nazir, from the fact that the structure of the brisa started off by telling me first about a nazir by himself, v'achakach nazir v'kohen hedyo, and then it spoke about a nazir with an added kedusha of he's also a kohen hedyo, v'achakach nazir v'kohen gadol, and then it built up to that. V'imkein misvora yesh lonu lomar di'eno mitame l'kroivim. Therefore, from logic, it would tell me that he, the Oisa Pesach, cannot be metama to relatives, kamo nazir v'kulu inoch, just like the nazir and all the rest. In other words, just like we saw all the other examples in the Brisa were telling me they cannot be metama to a korov, to relatives, so too the Oisa Pesach, which was derived from Achoso, likewise is not allowed to metama to relatives. The kulu inoch, right, the others. The dok me'atzmecha. Finally, the next tesis, even though we're here on Daf Chof, was relevant to the Gemara of our Daf Yud Tes, Daf Yomi Shir, Shev Yaltase Shaini. This was mentioned as an answer of why I cannot be, I can't use the case of the Kovan Abrius concern in the form of the Hoyluch La'asoyis Pischoi is going to, we'll say, allow Kovan Abrius of Meis Mitzvah to supersede the Asiyas Pesach, where we saw a challenge to what Rav Yudah Marav said, that Kol Mokem Sheish Chul Hashem Ein Chokin Kovan L'Rav. Here we see that we are violating the Asiyas Pesach in favor of Kovod Abrius. So the Gemara said, well, Shev Yaltas Shaini. I can't use this as a challenge to what Rav Yudah Marav said. If someone finds himself wearing shatnez, that he is expected to strip himself of his shatnez clothing. Because here we are allowing Kovod Abrius to supersede, because the violation of the other mitzvah, namely the Asiyas Pesach, it's being violated through non-action, through simply not going to do the Korban Pesach it's called passive violation, as opposed to the case of Levishas Kilayim, where you're wearing the shatnez, that's called active violation. So we will never allow active violation of a mitzvah to take place, even at the expense of human dignity. So now Tosfos here, Shev Yaltas Shaini Vim Toimar Nozir V'Koin Godol Kum Asehu Diatame Lemeis. We mentioned in our drasha that if you have a person who is a nazir and a kohen gadol, and he is on, and he notices a meis mitzvah, he is to tend to the meis mitzvah. Is it not so that the Nozir and the Kohen Gadol are in effect Bekum Ve'aseh, they're going and violating, they're going to be Matama themselves, which is the Tumah is an undoing or a repudiation of his Nazirus and his Kohen Gadol status. So he's actively abrogating or violating his Nozir and Kohen Gadol status through being Matama themselves. And that we allow. So why not allow, by the same token, the wearing of the Kilayim? Just like the Nozir and Kohen Gadol were allowing them to violate actively their status by being Matam themselves for the sake of Kovod HaBrias, so allow the person to continue wearing the Shatnez for his Kovod HaBrias. Vetirates Rashi. Rashi offers an explanation. He deals with this question, and he says, Tekra Goli Lon, the Torah reveals, the Lav, the Lo Yitama, that prohibition, the prohibition of becoming Tomei for a Nozir, for a Kohen Gadol, Loi Nemar Gabi Meis Mitzvah. It was never said. In other words, when a Kohen Gadol Nozir encounter a Meis Mitzvah, he has no negative violation. There is no negative violation to begin with. Basically, all he has is go and tend to the Meis Mitzvah. The Torah isn't warning against being Metameh. So there's no problem the violation or the pushing off of a dechia, the pushing off of a lav, the loy nehira. Tosfos doesn't like Rashi's pshat. Rashi has this inventive idea that when a nozir or kohen gadol encounters a meis mitzvah, so the lav was never said. If you were to adopt Rashi's pshat, then anywhere when this issue comes up of a positive command, and it comes up in numerous places where a positive command is said to push off, to supersede a negative command, where there's a confrontation between the need to perform a positive mitzvah, but in doing so you're involved with violation of a negative precept. Well, heich kori le dechia, according to Rashi, how could it ever be called a dechia? Ema she'eno dechia. We could very simply say that when a situation of an aseh confronting a lo saseh arises, using Rashi's inventive approach, you know what you say? The hasam lo ne'emar halav. The lav was never said. In other words, the negative precept was never said under those circumstances that the positive mitzvah needs to be performed. V'oid the hamila v'tomid u'pesach. These are three mitzvahs: doing a bris on Shabbos, doing offering the daily sacrifice, the tomid shel shachar, tomid shel ben bayim, and the base of Mikdash. Slaughtering a korban pesach on Yud Daled Nisan that falls out on a Shabbos. The dochu Shabbos. We know they overrule. These are positive commands that overrule the negative command of lo sase kol meloch on Shabbos. Can we repair elu dvorim? Amo mikri shapir dechia. Well, we see that they're called dechia, even though there was room to say that the lav of Shabbos was never said in the context of these mitzvahs. But nevertheless, the Gemara refers to it as doiche. And when you say doiche, you're saying it is there, not like Rashi said, but rather the lav is there, but these supersede. Elo nira. So now, if that's the case, so we go back to the kilayim issue. We go back to the case of Nozir and Kohen Gadol confronting a Meis Mitzvah, and it seems that we are telling them, the Nozir and Kohen Gadol, go ahead and actively betami yourself for the purpose of preserving the dignity of the Meis Mitzvah. If that be the case, so then why not say someone who's wearing shatnez, continue actively wearing the shatnez instead of stripping yourself naked, thereby by continuing wearing that, preserving your dignity. So why don't we use Nozir and Kohen Gadol as a precedent to allow the wearing of the Kilayim? Ela Nireh. Demi Nozir lo gamrinan. You cannot use Nozir as a precedent. The Nozir who is metame to the Meis Mitzvah, Dema leNozir sheken yeshno b'she'ela. Nozir is a weak type of... it has a built-in weakness to it, ironically, because we see so many chumas by Nozir, but it has an inherent weakness to it in so far as someone who is a Nozir could approach a Talmud Chacham and be shoyel on Nazir. In other words, he could rescind the Nazir. It's something that is reversible. And therefore, it is possible to uproot it, or it's possible to tell someone, go ahead and violate your Nazirus for the sake of the Meis Mitzvah. V'chein mikohen, and likewise, I can't learn from Kohen to allow violations of mitzvahs for preservation of dignity. It also has a weakness to it. It's a weak type of institution, and it applies only to Kohanim, not to others. So something like that, we can say, go ahead and violate it for the preservation of dignity. Let's go over this last point. Nozir and Kohen have these two respective weaknesses to them. So those kind of mitzvahs, we can say, go ahead and violate the lav that's in them, the need for avoiding tumah, for the purpose of preserving dignity. However, something like shatnez, which is a permanent prohibition, it's not, you can't be shoyel on it, and it applies to everybody, that kind of violation we cannot allow to be superseded simply for the preservation of dignity. With that, we conclude our Tosfos Shiur for today.